Good morning. I know we've already said it twice, but for the third time, for those of you who are visiting with us, I know that I can speak on behalf of the entire congregation here. We're glad you're here with us. Thank you for coming. If you're traveling, if you're passing through, we hope you like it here and stop and stay and move here and come join us in our efforts to worship God. If you already live here and know how beautiful it is, then we hope that you will choose to come here and join us in our efforts of worshiping God. We thank you for your presence. We hope that you can come again. We hope you find this time uplifting and encouraging and edifying. Of course, little speech that you're about to hear is just a very small part of our worship experience. We hope that it will be, we do a lot of other things here with our singing and praying and sharing the Lord's Supper, remembering the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's traditional to have a message, which is what's next. Again, for those of you who are visiting, we are a congregation in transition. We are currently between preachers. We're looking for a preacher. And any of you who have been through that experience before know that sometimes it can take a while to find a preacher that fits the congregation. And so we are in that process right now. We are working towards finding a preacher to come join us here and work with us in our efforts of serving God. In the meantime, I drew the short straw today, and so you get to listen to me. So thank you again for coming. I'm glad you're here, and I hope that this message will have some usefulness, will have some meaning for you. In the course of some recent reading, I was shocked, dismayed, disappointed to find that I have been struggling with a victim mentality. Now, because I was surprised, because I was shocked, I thought that maybe somebody else here might also find, oh, that's interesting, I didn't know that about myself. So I thought I would talk about it. I'm by no means an expert in this. I by no means have mastered what I'm about to tell you. But what I found is that over the course of time, I've fallen into this mindset, if you would, of having a victim mentality. And before we go any further, I'd like to make a distinction between being a victim and having a victim mentality. Now, you all know that what being a victim is something happens to you which you have no control over. You can't do anything about it. And usually a victim means it was a bad outcome. None of us can go through life without at some point in time being a victim. And so being a victim is part of life experience. And you don't have to look very far back into the Bible to see victims in the Bible. And of course, we all want to start with Jesus, but wait. Jesus was a victim. We know he was unjustly tried. We know he was unjustly crucified. And yet, Jesus was different from all the rest of us, wasn't he? In that he had the ability to change it. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. But Jesus chose not to stop the natural progression, not to stop his sacrifice on our behalf. But he chose to allow himself to be a victim and allow himself to die for our sins. So Jesus doesn't really count as a victim, even though he was a victim. He had control. Let's look at Paul, though, and you all know the story of Paul. Paul was truly a victim. Paul in Jerusalem was accused unjustly of doing some things. And he was arrested unjustly, and he was imprisoned unjustly. And what control did he have over that? You all know, absolutely no control. So Paul was truly a victim. And remember, he went on for years of imprisonment and years of trials and years of persecutions. And yet, while he was in prison, he wrote letters that said, I rejoice in my surroundings. I rejoice in what's happened. I want you to rejoice with me. So what we see from Paul is that he was truly a victim, but he did not fall into the victim mentality. So a victim is, when you're a victim, you have no control over what happens to you. The victim mentality is something you have absolute control over. Is it easy? not on your life, at least not for me. And maybe for the rest of you. I mean, all things, we all have different gifts, as the scripture reading we read this morning, that we all have different gifts. And you might have noticed from that scripture reading in Romans chapter 12 that the gifts there that were listed started with prophesying, but after that, it was things that we all can do. Serving, edifying, giving, working, teaching, things that we all have abilities to do in certain proportions. And this victim mentality thing is one of those. Some of us are good at not being of having the victim mentality, and some of us need a lot of work on it. Well, I'm one of those that needs a lot of work. So, again, what I'm going to tell you, don't banish it from your mind that I'm saying here's what you ought to do, because maybe it is what you ought to do, but I'm not saying that this that I have mastered it, and let me teach you. So let me share with you some of the things that I'm learning as we go along regarding this idea of a victim mentality. First off, it's important to know, the top of that says characteristics. It shows up a lot better on my computer screen at home. It's important to know some of the characteristics of the victim mentality. Some of the characteristics are, number one, it's one of Satan's tools that he wants to use against us to make us feel helpless, to make us ineffective, to immobilize us, to stop us from taking positive action, to stop us from doing good things, to stop us from doing things that are healthy and helpful for ourselves as well as for the people around us. Satan uses this victim mentality or this victim mindset against us. And it's not what God wants. He does not want us to fall into this victim mindset or this victim mentality. I think it's interesting, one of the things that I read about immobilizing us, that one of the characteristics of the victim mentality is inactivity. People stop trying. They stop doing things, and they have this mindset of, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't help it. I can't. You know, I'm helpless here. So that's, in a nutshell, is the victim mindset. And it immobilizes us. When you feel like you're helpless, why try? And so when I think about being immobilized, I can't help but think about in World War II, I just remember seeing videos of this that you all remember some of the stories that Rommel, the German tank guy, was a brilliant commander, and we had Patton and some other guys that had, the Germans had big, fast, strong tanks, and we had little, quick, weak tanks, and, you know, it was a great, great strategy and stuff, how they worked together. We ultimately, the Americans ultimately won, but why? It's because the Germans ran out of gas, and they were immobilized. That's part of the reason, but when you run out of gas, a tank's not very effective when it's just, you know, just becomes a target, basically. So being immobilized through a victim mentality is not healthy for us. It's not healthy for the people that are around us. And it's most important of all to remember that it's one of Satan's tools. Some of the characteristics, again, of this victim mentality is it gives the person a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of powerlessness. I can't do anything about this. I can't change anything. I'm just going to have to wait and see what happens. Now, again, and you see the last thing I have in there, it's ineffective and it's depressing. It doesn't move you forward. Again, let me distinguish between a victim and a victim mentality. You may truly be a victim, and yet the victim mentality is something that you can control. Not the victim, but the victim mentality. You can control this. If you are a victim, I can say this. If you are a victim, it's a lot harder to not develop the victim mentality. However, a lot of us develop this victim mentality. A lot of us develop this victim mentality when we aren't truly a victim. In our minds, we make ourselves a victim, but we aren't truly a victim. So I give this lesson for three reasons. It's possible that some of you here have fallen into the victim mentality, as I have. It's possible that some of you here have a loved one that's fallen into the victim mentality. It's possible here that the victim mentality has affected this congregation and our church. There are things, of course, that have happened here in the recent months that you may feel helpless or powerless to control. And fact is, maybe you were. But developing a victim mentality where you say, well, nothing I can do about it, I'm just going to have to wait and see, is ineffective, not helpful to you, not helpful to the group here. But maintaining this, well, I'm going to do what I can attitude is much healthier and to advantage for you and to advantage for the congregation. This is the single most important characteristic of, in the victim mentality, is this feeling of powerlessness. What can I do? So, this says at the top of the screen, which you can't read, but I can, it says, victims often sulk and withdraw. They become socially inactive in a church setting. They stop going to church. They make excuses. It's not my fault. They blame others. And again, if you're a victim, do you not, I mean, if somebody did something to you and it wasn't your fault, truly wasn't your fault, and you truly had no control over it, do you have the right to blame someone for what's been done to you? And I'll say resoundingly, absolutely. Who can blame you? You know, we all think, boy, I was treated unfairly. I was treated unjustly. Think about Paul. Do you think he blamed those Jews that made the false accusations? Sure, he blamed them. He had the right to blame them. The thing is the victim mentality gets stuck in the blame. If you're stuck in the blame and you're thinking about, you know, what's happened in the past and what went wrong and what, you know, and then there's nothing I can do about it, could you have developed the attitude like Paul? I rejoice in my surroundings. I want you to rejoice with me. The things, the circumstances that I am now in have worked out for the greater good of the gospel. Can you develop that attitude? I have trouble. So Paul was truly a victim. He had people to blame. Nobody can blame you for blaming others when it's not your fault. But to be stuck there is a victim mentality and not healthy and not helpful. Here's how you can identify yourself. Or, and this is really sad, when I'm reading these books, I'm reading things, you're going, oh, I do that, oh, I do that, oh, I do that. It's like darts. And, you know, we talked about Satan's tools, don't we talk about Satan's darts? It's like, oh, I do that. So, please don't feel bad if you know, if some of these things fit you, and, you know, if you're one of those people that say, well, it doesn't fit me, but, you know, don't feel bad, because the reality is, humans have had victim mentality since Adam and Eve. Have we not? They eat the forbidden fruit. God says, Adam, what have you done? And what's he say? She made me do it. I had no power. I had no control. God goes to Eve. What have you done? He talked me into it. I had no power. The victim mentality is innate within our beings. We can't help ourselves sometimes. And I'd suggest that we've all fallen into this at some time or another. All of us have. The trick is to recognize it and get out of it. Don't blame ourselves. Don't get stuck there. That's not helpful and that's not productive. I mean, that's the victim mentality again. But if you can recognize some of these characteristics, some of these traits, either within yourself or with someone that you love, then we'll talk about how we can deal with some of these things in a positive, more effective way. So here's some of the identifying behavior traits of the victim mentality. Turning negative thoughts. Do you replay the past over and over and over and over and over again in case you haven't thought about it just enough? If you're replaying the past events over and over and over again, and worse than that, you're replaying them to your spouse or your friends. Or I heard this morning in the class they were talking about grumbling. We were talking about grumbling and complaining. Somebody mentioned going out to coffee and, you know, grumbling and complaining. Well, are you replaying the past, grumbling and complaining, going over and over and over things in your speech or in your thoughts? Churning negative thoughts is a characteristic of this victim mentality. Often complaining, being angry or frustrated. You know, when you feel helpless and powerless, it mostly makes us feel frustrated. And frustration typically leads to anger. And if you're finding yourself, I'm just mad, and sometimes you can't figure out why, maybe it's this. Maybe you've allowed yourself to fall into the victim mentality, and these recurring negative thoughts or these recurring, I've been cheated, it's unfair, why did this happen to me, etc., etc. Maybe that's why you're finding this, I'm just angry all the time. Maybe. So some other characteristics is often we blame others instead of saying, you know, I need to do something about this. Instead, like Adam, well, I shouldn't have gone. She made me do it. Well, victim mentality often is blaming others rather than taking responsibility for ourselves. These phrases often come out of those who are stuck in victim mentality behavior. I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do. I can't. Why me? What if? And if only. You know, all of these are just instead of what can I do? What are my options? What are my possibilities? So I hope I've done enough of the explanation of the victim mentality. If some of those points ring a bell with you, again, please don't feel bad. We all have this, and it's innate within our personalities. It's innate within human experience, and it's one of those darts of Satan that he wants to work against us. And so being aware of it is one of the first steps in overcoming. So how do we rise above the victim mentality? First, like I said, be aware that, oh, I'm doing it again. Second, once you become aware of it, stop that behavior, separate yourself from it, stop that thinking, stop that speech, whatever it is, stop it, separate yourself from it, and then the key part is to redirect yourself. Find a different direction to go. If it's your speech, talk about different things. If it's your thoughts, think about different things. If it's your actions or what you're doing, your behavior, find something else to do. It's important to be aware. It's important to stop. And then you can't, once you stop, you've got to replace that with something, do you not? And so you replace it with going in a different direction, redirecting yourself. So I'll suggest that there's four areas, there's more, but there's four areas that are pretty easy for us to look at and examine and pretty easy to work on. And, you know, if we do the list of 30 things like I've got, it's too many to work on at one time. So start with four things. There's four things that you can start with. If you know someone that's got a victim mentality or if it's within yourself, there are four areas. These four, your speech, your thoughts, your thanksgiving, and your happiness. We'll talk about each one of those things. First off, I've lost my notes. First off, practice healthy speech. You can see in this painting, oh, you can't see it. Oh, rats. Well, in this painting, there's five guys that are sitting there, and they're just, you can tell by their body postures. I have to describe what I put on the board. You can tell by their body posture, by their dress, by the looks on their faces. They're just dejected, and you can just tell that what they're talking about is not happy. What they're talking about is not healthy. What they're talking about is not helpful, but they're just grumbling and moaning and woe is me. Things are so bad. My life is terrible. And they're building on one another. It's a great painting, I think, and I don't know if you can see it or not. I wish you could. But anyway, you can tell that these people are really struggling with, or these four men are really struggling with what they're thinking, what they're saying, and what they're talking about. Well, James chapter 1, verse 26, and the reason I put practice healthy speech, the reason I put that first is because of these two passages, James chapter 1 and James chapter 3. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And what I'll suggest to you is, James is telling us, if you think that you're religious, and you profess to be religious, and you tell yourself, I am religious, but you have trouble controlling your tongue, then maybe you're kidding yourself about being religious. Now again, don't take that as an accusation. Take that as a, we all do it. You know, I do it, you do it. We all have trouble controlling our tongue, because you know half of the book of James is talking about it's impossible to control your tongue. And the person that does is perfect. And all of you perfect ones, raise your hand. You know, none of us are perfect. None of us can control our tongue. But the point that James is making to us is the importance of controlling our tongue. James chapter 3, verse 6 says something about that the tongue, like a horse's bit, or like a bit in a horse's mouth, it steers the horse. Like the rudder on a big ship, it steers the ship. Well, you think about the methods of conveyance they had in James's time, and it was ships and horses, right? Think about today. What are the methods of conveyance we have today? Cars. If James was writing today, what would he say? The tongue is like a steering wheel. The direction that you point it, that's where you're going to go. And so I start with practice healthy speech. If you want to get out of this victim mentality, practice healthy speech, because James says the tongue is what leads you. The tongue is what directs you. Start with your speech. And you know, if I was doing this just on my own, I'd say start changing your thoughts first. But James seems to say the steering wheel, he says the steering wheel is the tongue. So I guess I better go with James. Start with your speech. Be aware, and again, there's three steps: the awareness, the separation, and the redirection. So be aware of your speech patterns. Be aware of those things that you say. Be aware of those things that you say repetitively. Stop complaining. Stop blaming. Stop rehashing, reviewing the past. Stop saying, I can't do it. I wish I could. If only this would happen. Stop those things. Be aware of how often those things come out of your mouth, and stop. And then think of other things to say. If you can't think of good things to say, then just talk about something that's unrelated. I mean, even that is helpful. You all know, because we've all done it, we've all been in both chairs, right? We've all been in the chair where we were the complainer, and we've all been in the chair where we were listening to the complainer. And you all know what it's like to listen to the complainer. It's not very fun, is it? And so, when we get into that mode of complaining, be aware, I'm doing it again. And stop. And then find something else to talk about. Be creative. Use your brain. Find some other thing that you can direct your tongue to say. So practice healthy speech is the first step. Rising above the victim mentality, the second thing I'd say is, well, second thing I think James tells us is refocus your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 45 says that though we walk according to the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And Paul, writing that Corinthian letter, goes on to say that he talks about taking every thought captive. Take every thought captive. So I would suggest that getting out of this victim mentality, take every thought captive. Be aware of what you're thinking. And I'll just speak for me. I don't know about you, but I'll speak for me, is that what happens in my mind is I keep going over and over and over and over again. What happened? What happened? What could I have done different? What should I have done different? What should I have said? What could I have done? What? And how productive and useful and helpful is that in reality? In reality, it does no good at all. It's done. It's over with. It's in the past. Be aware of that thought process. Capture those thoughts. Take them captive. And I've got two bears up here because I think you all know either this experiment or you've heard a rendition of the experiment. You know the well, I call it the white bear experiment. And you've heard some rendition of this, and the experiment goes like this. You take a group of volunteers and you tell them, don't think about a white bear. And what happens? And they found ways to measure this, and they find that you tell somebody, you take a group of people and put them over in that room and count how many times they think about a white bear, it's zero, right? You take a group of people and put them in that room and say, don't think about a white bear. And you know what happens. White bear, white bear, white bear, white bear, white bear. That's all you can think about. But try this. Think about a black bear. Will that work? Well, sure. You can't stop your thoughts. Our thoughts are going on all the time. You cannot stop them. But what you can do is think about a black bear. You can change your thoughts. Be aware, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm rehashing this. I've got to think about something else. Go play a game of golf. Do something. Play a video game. Read a book. Get your mind off of whatever you're stuck on and get it over onto something else. Think about a black bear. So refocus your thoughts. Third point, and again, we're going to be aware. We're going to separate ourselves from this activity or this behavior, and then we're going to find something else to do. We're going to refocus ourselves. So practice Thanksgiving. And I've got these three verses listed there, and I just want to read them real quickly to you. Practice Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, In everything, in your victimhood, give thanks. For this is God's will for you. In everything, give thanks. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Practice your thanksgiving. And what I'll suggest to you is this. What we tend to do, and again, this is, I'm not blaming anyone, because this is what we do. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you for my whatever. Thank you for everything. And we got it covered, right? Try this, just as an experiment. Try thinking of specific things. And just as an exercise, I would really recommend you do this. Get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, just as an exercise. Don't type it. There's a difference between typing and writing. There's a different connection between your brain writing and your brain typing. Write it. Get a piece of paper, lined, because none of us can write straight, or few of us can write straight. Get lines. Piece of paper. Set your watch, timer, whatever, 10 minutes or 20, your pick, 10 or 20 minutes, and write down as fast as you can everything you can think of to be thankful for. As fast as you can. And I'll suggest to you that if you run out of things to write down before your time's up, you're not trying very hard. Just as an example, this is just a ridiculous example. How many of you last time you said, dear God, thank you for my shoes? I know that's absurd. There's 300 million children in the world. 300 million children in the world that don't have a pair of shoes. When's the last time you said, thank you, God, I've got shoes? Think of specific things to be thankful for. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. In prayer, have this attitude of thanksgiving. In your life, have this attitude of thanksgiving. Practice your thanksgiving. And I'll suggest that exercise of taking pen and paper and writing down things to be thankful for, that's not a bad idea a couple times a week. Get out a piece of paper, write down as fast as you can, and don't spend all day because you could, but you've got other things to do. Set your timer, 10 minutes, fast as you can, what I'd be thankful for. And then, you know what? You might just take that piece of paper and try this. Pray for those things. See how long that takes you. That'll take you a lot longer to pray for them and thank God for them than it did to write them down. But just as an exercise, practice thanksgiving. So to get above this victim mentality thing, the last thing is practice happiness. You think that's weird? That's a dumb face that you put up there. That, you know, we're sick of that sticker. But the scriptures here that I wanted to call your attention to, Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. What? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Does that echo to you a sense of choice? You have the choice to rejoice and be glad in it. You have control over how I approach this day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Here we go. Well, I made it 20 minutes. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, are you to be happy in the circumstances? Not at all. Nobody expects you to be happy in the circumstances or happy because of the circumstances. But can you be happy despite the circumstances? And I'll suggest, yes, you can. We'll get through this. It'll be all right. So, consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You can be happy despite your circumstances. And I'll suggest to you that all four of these things, practicing healthy speech, refocusing your thoughts, practicing thanksgiving, and practicing happiness, all four of these things are learned behaviors. We can learn these things. Happiness is something we learn. And again, be aware of, man, I'm grumpy today, or, oh, I'm depressed, I'm despondent, I'm whatever it is. I'm not happy today. That's okay. You don't have to be happy every day. But you can be aware, and you can work on separating yourself from it, and you can work on your actual happiness. What do I have to be happy about? And if it's only that your shoestring didn't break today, so be it. Be happy about that. Work on your happiness. Practice your happiness. 3 John chapter 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, brethren, to hear my children walking in the truth. So, what, the reason I put that there, and that wasn't even supposed to get to me. The reason I put that there is, what is your greater joy? John says, I choose my greatest joy to be that you are walking in the truth. That's what he chooses his greater joy to be. We have a choice of what we choose to have joy about, what we choose to be happy about. So make that choice. Practice your happiness. Work on it. And we can do this. So, thanks. Finally. Don't give up. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. That was the English Standard Version. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. If you are struggling with this victim mentality, part of the problem is rehashing the past, going over what's already happened and what's already done. It's not helpful. It's not useful to you. I have just a couple more things. I can't see the clock from here. Oh, man, I'm out of time. Victim or victor, what does God want? This is God's attitude on victim mentality. What does God want? There's three things that God wants from us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you know, none of these verses are verses that you haven't heard. Does God want us to be victims? Romans 8, verse 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Does God view Christians as victims? No, we're conquerors, he says. He considers us victors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We are victors. We are overcomers. And the last thing, we're overachievers. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says what? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Who wants to do all things? It takes too much energy. It takes too much time. We don't have the time to do all things. But the point is, this is how God views us. This is how Paul views himself. I'm not a victim. I can overcome this. Yes, we may be victims, but we can overcome the victim mentality. Through those four steps, be aware, separate yourself, find a new direction to go, think about your speech, control your thoughts, work on your thanksgiving, and try to be happy. Thanks for your attention. I'm sorry I went just a little bit over. I appreciate very much that you put up with me. Please join me with a final prayer. And after this prayer, we'll have songs. Our holy God, great Savior, Redeemer, Strengthener, Healer, Creator, thank you so much for all the blessings you give us, and thank you for the strength that we find in one another. Thank you, God, that we can come together today and worship you and hopefully honor you and bring glory to your name. We thank you, God, for all the blessings that you give us, and we hope that we can be more thankful and be specifically thankful for the things that you have given us, and learn to concentrate on the good things that we have. Learn to rise above the difficulties and the challenges that we all face in everyday life. Please, God, help us to approach those challenges in a healthy and helpful way, and in a way that brings honor and glory to you and shows us to be different than the average person. Please, God, help us to grow. We know that we're weak. We know that we can't do anything on our own, and that only with your strength can we improve. And we understand, God, that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Thank you for this day. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll have a final song.